This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast number 50 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they just don't seem to listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP or platelet-rich plasma therapy, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
Hello, hello. This is the super tall Marshall Morris, and today I am joined by Dr. Chad Edwards, who believes that 80% of medical recommendations are crap, technically speaking here. He is the author of Revolutionize Your Health with Customized Supplements. He served in the U.S. Army. He's a board-certified physician and the founder of RevolutionHealth.org. Dr. Edwards, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
This is episode 50.
50, 5-0.
Like the big 5-0, half a century right here.
And we're getting into it. How do you, just real quick, looking back over the first 50 episodes, how do you feel?
I feel awesome. I'm really excited about the content that we've got. I think there's some really good information. I'm able to start sending patients to the podcast and say, you know, I'm droning on for 20 minutes about, you know, topic X, and it's what I end up telling my patients time and time again. So it's really been beneficial in that regard. And it's, you know, kind of our perspective, and it gives an overview. There's just kind of been a smattering of a bunch of different things over the last 50 episodes. And so hopefully, you know, the next 50 will be even better. It's been a learning process and a learning curve in doing podcasts and what can we do to be beneficial. So I'm just thankful to everyone that's listened so far, the feedback that we've gotten, and ready to rock on with the 50th topic.
Okay, so let's get into it. What is the hot topic today?
So today we're going to talk about vitamin C, and specifically I'm going to talk about parenteral vitamin C, meaning vitamin C injections. The vitamin C itself is, I mean, it's just it's an amazing nutrient that has a lot of viricidal, meaning it kills viruses, properties, immune supportive properties. It's got a lot of fantastic stuff. And there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there about, you know, patients say, well, I'm taking vitamin C, you know, so I don't get sick or something like that. The, you know, as a traditional physician, when I was, you know, just doing traditional medicine, patients would come in and saying, well, do you recommend vitamin C? And I'd say, well, there's, you know, no harm in doing vitamin C, except for that if you take enough of it, you're going to start getting diarrhea. And the reason for that is because you have these channels or these absorption pumps that basically accept the vitamin C and get it into your system. And you can saturate those things so that they're only going to take in, you know, 10 units or whatever.
And it's just going to pass through everything else.
Exactly. And so then you have all this substance, this stuff, which is very sticky and kind of sweet tasting, that's in your gut, and your intestines are going to try and level out. It's an osmotically active substance, so it's going to try and pull fluid into your gut, which is what causes the diarrhea. So you can only absorb so much orally. Giving it intravenous or even intramuscular, on the other hand, bypasses that entire absorption mechanism. And so we can get much, much, much higher doses. And I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I went to a conference one time where they showed if you take like 1,000 units or 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C or 250 milligrams of vitamin C, then you get like, you know, whatever your measurable amount, you know, one unit of vitamin C in your blood. And if you take 10 times that, 2,500 milligrams, then it goes from 1 to 1.2 or, you know, something. Right. It's this infinitesimally small.
It's a law difference. Of diminishing returns.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so, but with one single dose of intravenous vitamin C, it went up 80-fold, you know, or something ridiculous like that.
Okay.
And, you know, this is one of those topics that it can be very controversial, and it's kind of against the grain to say that vitamin C can be effective for certain things, but yet no one's really given it intravenously or even intramuscularly. So we're going to talk about some of the data behind this, and this all comes from a presentation that was done by Dr. Levy, and he's a physician and an attorney, and he's done a lot of research on vitamin C and presented, I mean, it was almost a rapid fire succession on the data. And so it's kind of what we're going to do here. And we're just going to talk about why vitamin C and what has it done, and why should you consider getting it? And I recommend it intravenous. We can give it, it's very safe, it's very effective, and all of these kinds of good things. So starting off this podcast, I want to read a quote by William Thomas from 1873. And he said, "Let no one who has the slightest desire to live in peace and quietness be tempted under any circumstances to enter upon the chivalrous task of trying to correct a popular error." Mm. So I just thought that was very interesting as we get into the thick of this on vitamin C, and basically, we're trying to, we're going against the grain, on mainstream dogma, and we're trying to correct some of these errors. So I thought that was an interesting way to start off with this. One of the hardest hitting things that I saw when I started looking into vitamin C is that, and I'm going to use the word cure. I'm not saying that vitamin C cures. I'm not saying people come into my clinic and we're going to cure your ex. I am not saying that. Let me be clear. I am talking about what has been reported in the literature. Okay. Yeah. These are not my words. These are someone else's words. So the first thing was a paper published by Klinner in 1949, and vitamin C, and he used intramuscular vitamin C, cured.
What's that mean? So intramuscular?
Giving an injection into the muscle, like the butt muscle, okay, or the thigh muscle.
So like a needle into the muscle.
That's correct. Okay. Like you go in and get your flu shot, okay, or something like that. He cured polio in 1949 in 60 out of 60 cases. Now, the important thing to understand here is 15 of these cases were confirmed polio cases by lumbar puncture, which is one of the things that they did at the time. And within a very short period of time, they were cured. A full account is available in a paper published by Robert Landwehr, Landwehr, and the paper is called The Origin of the 42-Year Stonewall of Vitamin C, and this was published in the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine, Volume 6, Number 2, 1991.
And so he's saying that the study that they're presenting, that they published,
right,
is saying 60 out of 60?
That's correct.
Cases? That's a pretty high percentage.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly right. So this is, I'll just read part of this. they followed a schedule of these injections. After this time, the fever was consistently down, and that was after 24 hours after they'd started therapy. After this time, the fever was consistently down, so the drug was given 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams every 6 hours for the next 48 hours. All patients were clinically well after 72 hours, 3 days. After three patients had a relapse, the drug was continued for at least 48 hours longer, 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams every 8 to 12 hours. Where spinal taps were performed, it was the rule to find a reversion of the fluid to normal after the second day of treatment. So we're talking 2 to 3 days.
So 3 days, and then anybody that relapsed, they did it for another 2 days. So a total of 5 days, they're saying that they cured the disease.
That's exactly right. That was exactly right. And he presented at the American Medical Association in the 40s or 50s, somewhere in there. And it didn't get much publicity. I don't know why, but the data is here. I mean, he has a full accounting of every patient and what he did and how they did it and the diagnosis and the whole bit. It is a legitimate accounting of exactly what he did.
Right.
So it's not a randomized placebo-controlled double-blinded study, because he didn't give placebo to half the group of polio patients and then vitamin C to the other half. But 60 out of 60 is quite impressive.
Yeah.
Certainly just watching the polio patient didn't help, or other else they would have done that. So the In another study also published by Clinner, vitamin C cured advanced polio and its flaccid paralysis. So, you know, it's a major virus. That was in 1951. There is a length, if I remember right, I'll get the links in the show notes for this 42-year stonewall of vitamin C. Again, it gives a full accounting. So acute hepatitis is another problem. And in 1962, Dalton reported that vitamin C cured acute hepatitis. It was also reported by Cathcart in 1981 and Orens in 1983. So again, they were saying that they cured acute hepatitis. In 1951, Clinner reported that he cured cases of viral encephalitis presenting in coma. So encephalitis is an inflammation of the brain caused by a virus, and he was able to resolve that with vitamin C. In 1950, Massel reported that he could that they cured acute rheumatic fever. Rheumatic fever is an inflammation. It's an inflammatory process, and what we call a vegetation. So it's a growth on the one of the heart valves in response to a streptococcal infection. So strep throat, those kinds of things, and it can cause an inflammatory response that you get these vegetations that grow on the heart. And so he was able to resolve that in 1950, according to that report. Vitamin C and other antioxidants, such as alpha-lipoic acid and N-acetylcysteine, have, according to the statements, have cured toxic mushroom poisoning, which is one of the worst poisonings you can endure. It is horrible and brutal. This was reported by Lang, L-A-I-N-G, in 1984, by Berkson in 1979, and Montanini in 1999. So three different reports on toxic mushroom poisoning resolved by vitamin C and other antioxidants. Two cases of chronic infectious mononucleosis were cured in 3 days. Two cases of chronic West Nile virus were completely well in 3 days. One was so sick they thought they had hepatitis. So West Nile virus, acute hepatitis, rheumatic fever, toxic mushroom poisoning, you know, all of these things are treated by vitamin C according to these reports. Again, to be clear, these are not my words. This is what was reported by Dr. Levy. Hemorrhagic dengue fever. So dengue is spelled D-E-N-G-U-E. It's a virus spread by a mosquito. We see it a lot in Central America. And they call it breakbone fever because of the pain that you can get associated with that. There was a little girl in South America that they said was cured by vitamin C. In 2008, Mikirova, M-I-K-I-R-O-V-A, said that vitamin C exerts anti-cancer activity both in the test tube and in the body. So you can see it in a petri dish and you can see it in the human body that there is some anti-cancer benefits. There was in 2006 a report of three cases showing vitamin C to be very effective cancer therapy. I've not yet seen it, but there's a documentary, The Truth About Cancer, where they talk about all kinds of issues with cancer and the pharmaceutical industry and all of those kinds of things. In 2004, seven advanced cancer cases were successfully treated with IV vitamin C. And let me be clear that I have numerous patients in my practice that have been treated with vitamin C that did not get their cancer cured. So, you know, you can't make a blanket statement, but this is a potential therapy for some people. Higher plasma levels of vitamin C are inversely associated with gastric cancer risk. And that was reported by Riordan, R-I-O-R-D-A-N, in 2004. No, I'm sorry. That one was by Genab, J-E-N-A-B, 2006. I know there's a lot of names.
It's
and
a lot of names and numbers.
It is a lot I've of been names keeping and numbers. Track, though. Good. And that's a good thing. There's just a lot of data, and you know, I can say it, but it doesn't mean anything if I can't back it up. So these are the reports. This is the data. And it's important when you're making some of these claims that here's the data. And it's not me making these claims. I'm just discussing what's been reported. the highest levels of vitamin C have the least mortality from heart disease, cancer, and all other causes. In almost 20,000 patients, the risk of dying in the top 20% was half of those in the bottom 20%. So higher vitamin C levels made a big difference in all-cause mortality. That was reported in 2000 and 2001 by two different providers. High plasma vitamin C levels are associated with a lower risk of coronary artery disease, independent of classical risk factors, and that was reported in 2006. Dr. Levy mentioned that coronary artery disease may actually be what's called a focal scurvy. Scurvy is vitamin C deficiency. So cardiovascular disease being inflammatory and those kinds of things, he was saying that that's actually a vitamin C deficiency in that area, and that if vitamin C were present in sufficient amounts, that wouldn't happen. I can't make a statement on that one way or another. I don't know that. But that's what Dr. Levy has said. They said that dental toxicity consumes antioxidants at an incredibly high rate and deposits toxins, bacteria directly into the bloodstream. Higher plasma vitamin C levels are inversely associated with the development of diabetes, and that was reported in 2000. The interesting thing to me is, you know, we talk about this issue of risks and benefits, and we've talked about this in multiple podcasts. If many traditional Western medicine docs need a randomized placebo-controlled double-blinded study, and they'll say, "Well, what's the benefit? You know, where's the proof?" And I say, "Where's the proof of harm?" And then if there's no proof of harm, then, or if there's no risk of harm, I should say, not proof. If there's no risk of harm, then why not consider it? It doesn't need to be proven to me to work, because I don't care if it's one out of a million, if somebody gets better with it, then, and it's not going to harm them, then why not? Why not? We have a responsibility to our patients. And the interesting thing is that vitamin C has really no known toxicity. When patients come in to the hospital or into the clinic or whatever, I can give them too much fluid. Plain old, not water, because you don't give water IV, but we can give them normal saline, the same concentrations as what's in our blood, and I can give them too much water and do a volume overload, a fluid overload, and so there is a toxicity to water. There's a condition called psychogenic polydipsia, where you drink too much water, and it can flush out your electrolytes. If you drink too much water for any reason, it can flush out your electrolytes. And we'll often see it in endurance athletes. I saw it in the military, where you get these military guys that are out and they're not eating appropriately. They don't get enough electrolytes. They drink, and just dilute out all of your electrolytes. So water can be toxic, and you can have water toxicity. With vitamin C, there is no evidence that that occurs. So there is no reported levels of toxicity. So they're saying that vitamin C intravenous is safer than water. In 2002, Jackson stated that vitamin C had no known toxic dose in patients without pre-existing kidney disease or kidney damage. And so we do have to be a little bit careful in some patients with kidneys. And there was a Harvard prospective health profession study follow-up. The intake of high doses of vitamin C does not increase the risk of calcium oxalate kidney stones. The members of the group with the highest vitamin C intake had the lowest risk of kidney stones than compared to those with the lowest intake. That was reported in 1997. Continuous vitamin C infusions of 50 grams daily, 50 grams is a fair amount, over 8 weeks in terminal cancer patients had no definable negative side effects. That was reported in 2001. So we're talking about something that seems to be very safe with no reported toxicity and a lot of potential benefit. One of the statements by Dr. Levy, and this is a pretty inflammatory statement, but I thought it was very interesting, and I think many of our patients may resonate with this, and I don't mean to be inflammatory, but it's simply what I've seen. And his statement, he's an MD physician, and he's an attorney. And he said that modern medicine, through the popular press, through the scientific literature, they just lie. They lie, and they misrepresent, and they withhold the truth. And that is a shocking statement. you know, there are study after study after study that I can present here. And there's some videos. One was a 2020 episode from New Zealand where a guy had swine flu, and this was in 2009, and he was so sick he ended up on ECMO, which is extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, where basically it's heart-lung bypass. And he couldn't even do a ventilator. He had no air space in his lungs. His lungs were completely whited out because of inflammation. So he was on this ECMO, and the family requested that they try high-dose IV vitamin C. The hospital said no initially, and this was all documented in the 2020 episode. They were actually going to pull the plug. The hospital was going to pull the plug. And the family finally got them to give him a single dose of high-dose IV vitamin C. And my thought is, what, are you going to kill him? Why not? And they were refusing to do this therapy that they would rather just pull the plug and let the guy die than they would to just try a therapy that had in their minds had any proven benefit. Who cares? What are you going to kill him? It's asinine to me. And this is the crap that we talk about. Why not? Why not? It's, you know, the long story on the show is the guy ended up being discharged from the hospital, or he was off the ventilator 2 weeks after he started getting IV vitamin C. The hospital felt that it was coincidental, and they said that it could have been circumstantial, and they even used the analogy of it could have had as much to do with the bus driving by the out front of the hospital as it did with the vitamin C. Well, you can't disprove that statement, but give me a freaking break. Are you kidding? You're telling me that the traffic in front of the hospital had as much to do with the guy getting better as the vitamin C that they were refusing to give. It's just an unwillingness to accept the possibility that maybe that saved that guy's life. Again, we can't say that it did, but you sure can't say it didn't. I mean, this is the nonsense that we hear. And this went, that particular case went up through the courts and was, you know, fought legally. And the guy ended up being discharged and is fully functional, flying airplanes and all of those kinds. It's quite impressive. Linus Pauling was instrumental in a lot of vitamin C, won Nobel Prize. And he said, do not let either the medical authorities or the politicians mislead you. Find out what the facts are and make your own decisions about how to lead a happy life and how to work for a better world. Thought that was interesting. You know, there's just so much information about vitamin C, and I could drone on and on and on and on and on, and I know we're going to run out of time, but vitamin C is incredibly effective. It has lots of evidence that it's very beneficial. There aren't tons of randomized placebo-controlled double-blinded studies, but it's one of those things that we've seen a lot of benefit for our patients, getting IV vitamin C, something that's very safe and potentially very effective. Many patients feel so much better after getting one of these IVs, and it can help with acute illness. We've seen reports where it's helped with hepatitis and, you know, many of these viruses. Some patients reported improvement in cancers, and, you know, why not? You know, certainly if you have cancer and you have an oncologist, you certainly want to be open and upfront. And if there's anything that we're doing that that is going to interfere with their therapy, I never want to step on those toes, those kinds of things. We would want to work with them and not against them. That's not what we do. So if you have some of these conditions, you think that IV vitamin C may be beneficial for you, it's certainly something that I would consider. You know, I've done it for myself and my staff when they've had acute illness. And again, why not? And many times it helps quite a bit. So, you know, I know we flew right through the break and flew right through several things.
This is awesome. This is awesome because it's such a big, you know, show me the risk of the harm that's going to be done.
Exactly.
And if there is no risk of harm, this is a viable option. And we see that time and time and again with the treatments that yourself, your clinic, other functional medicine doctors are offering. And it's worth at least a question to your physician.
Absolutely. And if they don't know how to do it, then that's fine. That I certainly don't know everything in medicine, far from it. But I'm open. And if I don't do something, or maybe I disagree with something, that's okay. The patient and I don't have to agree on everything, but let me help them get what they think may help them. At the end of the day, it's the patient that matters, not the doctor's opinion. The doctor's opinion, the patient's the one that has to live with whatever, you know, whether the intervention they did get or the intervention they refused. The patient is the one that has to live with that consequence. And what we see time and time again is that what I've seen in some of my colleagues, not all of them, and I hear from patients time and time again, is that the doctor will actually get mad at them when they don't just get in line and do what they say they should do. Why? I mean, it makes no sense. The patient's the one that has to live with it. It's, you know, non-compliance based on that doctor's opinion.
Yeah.
What, I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I've done my job in educating. The word doctor translates loosely teacher. I'm supposed to educate them. I'm supposed to let them know, here's my education, here's my understanding, here's my experience, this is what I think. If they don't do that, then that's on them. Some of it may have to do with the medical legal and my risk of getting sued and all of those kinds of things. But my responsibility is to the patient, to the best I can, to treat them. And not every patient. I've got multiple patients that come, got one right now that has cancer. And she told me she is not going to accept chemotherapy and those kinds of things. And that's her choice. I did not guide her in that. I'm not a chemotherapy expert. So I don't make those decisions for them. But when they come to me and say, I don't want that, then what other options are there and how can I help you? You know, then some patients want to just gracefully accept their fate, and that's their right. They have the right to choose that. So, you know, vitamin C is one of those things that, you know, whether it's acute illness or cancer or whatever, I do not profess to my patients that we're going to cure them, that I'm going to resolve their issues, but this is a valid, viable therapy that may provide some benefit for them and without significant risk of harm. So why not?
Boom. Dr. Edwards, episode 50 with some passion, with some gusto.
Yeah, I figured we needed something for number 50.
There it is. Well, we are 50 into this thing. I'm excited for 50 and beyond more with you here, and I'm looking forward to it. So I appreciate you today, and until the next time.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you, Marshall.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.